This episode of Roboism is sponsored by the mighty, mighty Iron Galaxy. We make lots of games. You might even like a few. Follow us on Twitter at I2TheG.
Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op for hooking up our sponsorships. You can learn more at chicagopodcastcoop.com. I'm Alex Cox.
And I'm Savannah Million.
And this is Roboism.
So I'm really excited Iron Galaxy is sponsoring us this episode because it's our first ever episode with a guest speaker, and it just so happens to be Iron Galaxy's CEO Dave Link's combination financial advisor / second favorite pizza pal ever, local Chicago game developer David Lasky, because we're going to focus on game AI for this episode. So if you're listening, you are maybe probably down with video games, and if you are down with video games, you should definitely follow Iron Galaxy on Twitter because they make them.
So I just do game development freelance programming, and so recently I've just been doing a lot of like porting of people's games, and then like you mentioned, I have a studio called The Amiable, and we're working on our first game, Tetrables.
We wanted to talk about game AI this episode, so we grabbed a game developer.
I know the game AI exists, but I always thought that it was like really simple if this then that statements rather than, I mean, I know there's complicated algorithms involved, but like it feels like if that guy is shooting, have the other guy shoot this as well.
Right. So it's most game AI is just like you define goals that you want your AI to achieve or pursue, right? And then it's just a collection of like micro behaviors that when they come together form that, I guess, macro behavior, right? So like, oh, go capture the flag. That's a couple of things, right? That's like find the shortest path to the flag maybe and take out any opponents on the way. There's like a few... There's a bunch of little things that add up to what that behavior actually means.
But you also have to put in like failure rates and stuff, right? So you're not just like battling an impossible computer.
Right, yeah. So there's, you try to, you again, it needs to be fun and functional. So like you don't, it wouldn't be fun for an AI to have 100% accuracy, right? Like there's some old games. I remember like Nightfire on GameCube. There was an AI, I think it was James Bond in particular, that he would actually, you would know when he was going to do this. He would like slow walk. Like he would be running to go do whatever the mission is. And then he would actually stop and do this very slow walk. And you'd see like this 2-frame snap of him look at you and then look back and you'd be dead. Because you just got like a quick headshot on you because like either the team was losing or he's just like the best. So he had to always win. It was like ridiculous.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So yeah, trying to balance, I guess, function with fun is, I guess, the goal of game AI. Also, to not look stupid while doing so.
Right, so, like James Bond.
Exactly, yeah. So that looked stupid. So that was not necessarily a good game AI, right? But yeah, because if, like, the actual decisions that AI are making and that the game is actually trying to compute, again, you have a very limited amount of resources to work with when you're, like, 60 frames a second, right? This game needs to run fast. And so ultimately, you're, like, a lot of AI is, like, using animation to hide stupid things and, like, just a bunch of other accessory things to draw the player's attention away from what the AI is actually doing, just so, again, so that it looks cohesive and realistic in the environment.
So it's all magic tricks.
It's a lot of magic. Just like, yeah, a lot of things in games are just magic tricks, and AI in particular is very much smoke and mirrors.
What's the most sophisticated game AI out there right now?
David, name all the games with AI in them.
All right, let's see. It's hard to say. Like, I don't stay, like, super on top of, like, the latest AI. There was, like, you get a lot of interesting AI in, like, games with combat sometimes, and then games with, like, anytime there's a system that you have to, like, I guess that you're fighting the player, like, the player versus system.
AI in games is, like, when... you're fighting against the computer, right? Is that
usually
pretty much only the only time?
Well,
like,
so
would you consider like Animal Crossing characters AI or no?
I wouldn't say so. I think that's more like they're kind of this like hive mind system, probably, right? Like maybe when
how is a hive mind not how is there not AI in a hive mind?
Sure. So I guess here's, it's hard to define. I was actually thinking about this before, like, not that I had much prep, but I was thinking of, like, you know, what exactly defines, I guess, this is AI or this isn't, right?
Right.
Because, like, again, we were talking about games where you're like dodging moving platforms. That's not AI. That's literally just a platform moving. And that's a system that says if you hit a platform, you lose. So what I was thinking with Animal Crossing is it's hard to say if that's specifically AI, because if you go up to a villager in Animal Crossing, they're going to be like, blah, 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 I want this thing. And so you say, okay, I need to give you this thing. And so they're not, I guess their goal is to get that thing from you, but on their part, it's all passive, right? Like, it's you doing the thing to then go back to them and say, like, I found this thing for you. Like, they're not really doing, they're walking around.
It's like, you're saying it's too simple to be considered AI because it's just like one if-then statement as opposed to really complicated.
It's hard to, there's probably like minor AI. It's a matter of what exactly is like the AI of it, right? So it walking around or it being like, I need to go to my house right now. Like, that's AI, right?
Yeah.
But like the whole, I guess the chores system might be driven by something else entirely, and it just kind of acts as a mask. I have not seen the code to Animal Crossing, so I couldn't say.
David Lasky, Animal Crossing code expert, our guest on this
hacked
episode.
Into the game. Well, so what was I going to say? Oh, games that like do it really well. A lot of, again, this tends to be like very first person shooters, right? Like I remember Halo had a really good, like everyone was kind of gawking at like Halo stuff because they did really good. The enemies seemed to do a really good job of engaging you. As a whole, rather than each one kind of being like, I'm going to hide behind a wall and then jump out from a wall. And like, they seem to work together and like coordinate.
Oh, like the team had a strategy?
Yeah. So like the enemies actually seemed like they would approach you with more of like a team oriented goal rather than just kind of like an individual breakdown. And again, plenty of smoke and mirrors, I'm sure. But the way that the whole like game kind of played out felt a lot more. Like you were fighting an entire army of people who were working together rather than just a bunch of one-offs, right?
Yeah.
What's the state of AI in, like, indie games? Because we've talked a lot about first-person shooters, and they have so many resources to develop.
Sure. So, I'm doing the AI for our game, and not that our game is any kind of, I guess...
Tetrapulse,
yeah. So we have, like, top-down combat. It's kind of like Diablo, except you don't, whenever you go to attack or enemies attack, you don't have to like stop moving. So it's very much like everything's always running around, moving around at the same time. And there's two, without getting too technical, for lack of not boring everyone listening, there's like two main types of, I guess, systems that people approach game AI with. There's like behavior trees, which is a bunch of like, I guess, there's like, again, macro behaviors, micro behaviors, and then there's things called state machines, which there's usually some combination of both that go into it. And ours is...
What's a state machine?
A state machine is basically... So right now, I'm like sitting. So I'm in like a sitting state. And if I go to stand, then I'm in a standing state. And so a state machine is a collection of these states and the transitions between them.
Okay.
And the reasons that one would go from one to the other. And so our enemies, because everything's happening so fast and an enemy is only alive for a matter of seconds sometimes, it's very much like... I'm alive, and now I'm going to run towards the player, and I'm going to attack him if I'm close enough, and if I run out of health, I die. Like, it's some of them are very rudimentary. Some are more involved, but that's the base kind of, like, mindset that you go into creating these simple enemies with.
It really sucks that, like, all of the relationships you have in games, it's, like, the least amount of AI.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so, actually, the one I was wrestling with, again, how much of this is, like, AI and how much of this is just, like, data, and almost like you were saying, predictable, is the Nemesis system in Shadows of Mordor, if either of you are familiar. From my understanding, it's like you like basically create rivals with the way that you engage like enemies. So if you like either kill one or you don't finish it off, it will run away and like maybe come back later and like try and fight you in a very specific circumstance and like maintain its knowledge of your last encounters. And this is like a pretty big game, and there's like 30 or 40 of these enemies that you maintain these relationships with. I mean, some of them die, or plenty of them die, but like that one is actually, to go back to your question before when you were saying what's some of the more advanced stuff, that one really took a lot of people by surprise and made a lot of very fluid feeling relationships relative to some of the more static feeling ones in games.
So even when personal relationships have advanced AIs, there still are enemies. Like, no one,
yeah.
Why is no one programming like NPC friends that works really well?
I want that. I also want that game.
I also just pictured like I'm and
I just wish that like a friend could come help and save you at random times,
or just like, yeah, if it wasn't all fighting and it was like that, but with the, I think,
the romancing in Dragon Age.
Wouldn't that be great though? Like, just come on this Trent's journey with so me to, you know, yeah, like just picture a game like that where it's all just yeah, relationships with people. And I don't even mean like romance relationships, it could be anything. Like I was really impressed with all of the politics in Dragon Age too.
Yeah,
all of the navigating that, yeah, the politics of this entire nation and whatever. Anyways,
well, isn't it interesting though how like it seems like combat is always the front line of technology, like even in real life, like again, like mm-hmm. the military gets all this stuff and then they like they're funded to get all this stuff and then it trickles down to like everyday life use, like yep. in games it seems like first person shooters and like heavy combat games have all this tech and it trickles down to either the more casual or nonviolent experience.
Mm-hmm.
I feel yeah. like it's there are so many, you know, pacifists in the world, but there aren't people fighting for, like, we should use robot technology for good. I mean, well, there are, but again, like, it all
yeah.
goes to mean battle bots and drones. Whereas at, like, MIT, you can hug a robot and it'll sense, like, how much of a hug you need. In a perfect world, I want friendship AI to be developed in games so that, you know, kind of like in Animal Crossing, there is the smoke and mirrors of, like, oh, they know that you like this certain type of furniture. Like, I've had animals know that I like modern furniture, and then on my birthday, I got, like, a modern chair.
Yeah, because they ask you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I wish that there was some intelligence behind that rather than just a system.
Right,
yeah.
Well, because I'm trying to think, is it that it's that specific animal that was like, hey, you liked this chair, or was it just rando animal was like, they like chair, like they like modern chairs?
Some of the, it changes depending on the thing, because some of the stuff, it'll be like one animal will ask you a thing, and then that becomes common knowledge for the whole town. Like
oh,
they'll,
yeah.
I remember, because I picked it up the other day after not playing for 6 months, and they were like, oh, Savannah, like you wished for this thing on your birthday, how's it going? And that was, it was my birthday from a year and a half ago, and I was like, oh cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that particular animal that knew that. It was just like they all gossip about you while you're not there.
Yeah,
but
so, yeah.
Do you play the game as like an extrovert? Because I totally play Animal Crossing as an introvert, so basically I have only one friend, and like it's Drake the Duck. And I think he's a stoner because when he only comes out at night, and when I go to his house, it's always like, he's at the shop for snacks. And I'm like, well, oh boy. But he's always the one giving me gifts.
I honestly haven't kept up with my Animal Crossing villager friends ever since my favorite character, the gender ambiguous Julian, moved away, who is a unicorn with very
Julian.
Effeminate taste, but I think a male in Animal Crossing world, but mm-hmm. yeah, he was great, but he moved and I rage quit.
It seems like Animal Crossing, like there's the very simple things that each animal might remember, like, oh, you didn't talk to this animal for 2 days, and it's like, I was gonna move away, but thanks
yeah.
for talking to me, so I'll stay. Like that's
yeah
that's about as deep as those friendships seem to get.
Or when you log in and they're like, wow, you haven't played for 133 days.
Yeah, you're like,
I've been waiting outside your door this whole time.
I like how passive aggressiveness is probably the biggest part of their intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, so that whole system almost reminded me of like The Sims. Like how?
I was actually thinking about The Sims earlier because they have very randomized actions, but I don't think they're like learning.
Well, so I think I'm trying to remember one of the classes I took. I think we talked about The Sims AI, and it's a bit more like almost like there's items and needs that they have, and there's things like things in the world are all broadcasting like I satisfy this need, and whichever one is the most like
the loudest
basically like the loudest to them, they're kind of like, oh, and then they just go do that. So it's basically just all these objects
that.
Like silently screaming, and then they're just deciding which one to like take care of.
Man, it must be tough to be a Sim,
right?
That's
the silent screaming that you live with every moment,
like,
of every day.
Like you're just standing there and you're a little bit tired and this chair is screaming at you,
sit
like
down,
you can
sit down,
sit on me.
The silent screams of artificial intelligence.
I can't stand this blood forever.
Sit on me. I'm a chair.
Make pancakes.
Well, thanks for having me. can squeeze that in somewhere.
Thanks.
thanks for
game expert David Lasky.
Tomodachi Life, expert. Animal Crossing, Amiibo, Minecraft programmer, Nemesis System expert.
Thanks, game developer extraordinaire David Lasky. We're super glad you tuned in and listened to this great episode. But if you're hungry for more episodes and you can't wait another week for another Roboism, I highly suggest you listen to Open Ended, hosted by our friends James Green and Cher Vincent. They also do a weekly podcast, and they have a lot of different, they have a pretty good variety of different conversations, and they're great.
They're all focused around the human side of technology, so they cover some of the same themes that we do, and they're really great.
Yeah. If you like us, you'd like them. I'm Savannah Million.
And I'm Alex Cox.
Thank you for listening.
To Roboism.
You have to like all of us.
Optimistic. I love the wires inside me. Why the hell do I?